Father, what a thrill and joy it is to sing to you. Father, to just pause and bask in your wonder and your greatness. And Father, you have given us each life. And by your grace, we have chosen to come and honor you this morning by gathering as you called us to do on the Lord's Day. And to sing praises to you, but also to encourage one another and to celebrate life. Oh, Father, how precious it is to live this life and know that you are in charge of all that takes place in our life, but you're in charge of what happens when this life is over. Father, thank you for Wayne being here this morning. I pray for him and his continued recovery, Father, but thank you that he got up and made his way here, Father, to be with us. I just pray that you'll bless each life, Father, and thank you as we turn in your word now for what you're going to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of James in these days, so if you want to turn over to chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 22 through 25 of the book of James, chapter 1. Verse 22 says, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, is blessed in doing. I am yet to meet the person who doesn't want God to bless their lives. I'm guessing they're out there somewhere, but I just haven't met them. Everyone wants God's blessings. Yet God's blessings are controlled by God, not by our pleading, our coercion, our complaining, or our demands. To receive God's blessing, we must do two things. We must first hear Him, and then we must do what He tells us to do. If either one of those is left out, God's blessings are not going to fall on that individual's life. Those who only hear God and don't do what He tells them to do, like our passage today, as James told us, like looking in a mirror, and then when you walk away, you forget what you saw in the mirror. And he uses that to drive home the fact that we have to be hearers, but then we have to be doers of the word. Only hearers and doers of his word are going to receive the blessings of God. Anybody here not want to be blessed by God? Anyone? All right. That's the formula this morning. Well, let's begin first of all this morning by going back through God's word. And I'll be quick about this, but considering some examples of individuals who were doers of his word. Now, this morning, I want to caution us, okay? You're here. God bless you for being here. But folks, you can hear while you're here, but you got to be a doer when you leave. That's the deal. I've bumped into thousands and thousands of people through the years who go to church, and that's it. They go in here, and that's it. I went to church. But folks, if you go to church in here and you don't do, you're not going to be blessed. So let's look at some of the doers of the word. I picked these not at random, but there's no order to this. The first one that I came across that really thrilled me was Noah. Noah was a doer. He built an ark exactly as God commanded him to. Now, put this context in this, okay? It hasn't ever rained. at this time. The water that watered the earth was a mist that was coming up. It has never rained. But God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark. And that ark is going to be 510 feet long, 51 feet wide, 1.8 million cubic feet. And it's going to take Noah and his sons 120 years to build the ark. They have no tools. There's no chainsaws. They can't run down to Meeks and get the lumber. Everything they had to go out and procure themselves. And so for 120 years, he's building the ark. On dry land, it's never rained. And then when he got the ark finished, that's when the work really started. He had to go out and find two of every animal, everything, every creature of God. He had to go out and find a male and a female. Now, I don't mean to be too. There's some animals I couldn't tell you a male from a female. God's grace had to be all over this, didn't it? And for the clean animals, he had to get seven pairs. And he had to bring them all and put them on the ark. And then, after that's finished, he has to go out and find food to feed them for 370 days. Now, folks, that's a job. That's a doer of the word, would you say? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he survived the flood, and he became the father of a renewed human race. We won't be in that detail on these other personalities. Abraham left his homeland. And he was willing to sacrifice his son. He had him bound on an altar. He is getting ready to cut his throat and burn his son. Because God told him to. He was a hearer. He heard God. God told him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He got right up to the point of taking the young man's life. And God sent a ram instead. Abraham, because of his obedience, became the father of many nations. Then there's Joseph. Joseph remained faithful to God, though he was sold into slavery. And he was put in prison, but he remained faithful to God. He got in trouble for what he did while he was in prison. But because of his faithfulness, and because he was not only a hearer but a doer, Joseph became the ruler in Egypt, and he saved the lives of all of God's people, over 1 million individuals. Moses has to be on our list this morning. Moses was the son of Pharaoh. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh is the monarch of monarchs in the world at that time. No one is greater than Pharaoh. And Moses was his son. Now, his real father was named Amram, but he was there in Egypt, and he was the son of Pharaoh. Moses returned to Egypt because God told him to, and he led God's people out of bondage, a bondage they had suffered for 430 years. And Moses heard God, and Moses did what God told him to do. As a result, Moses spoke with God face to face. Try that one on this morning. Because the scripture tells us that no man or woman can see God's face and live. Moses saw God face to face because he obeyed God, because he was a doer of the word. And he spoke with God. God made him the leader of that whole nation of Israel. Then there's Joshua. Joshua led God's people in the conquest of the promised land. He obeyed God's instructions, and God gave him the great victory. Then we come to Ruth. I chose these at random, okay? Ruth chose to follow God and stay with Naomi. I don't know the details of that, but apparently that was a decision she had to make, and she did so because God told her to. And then Ruth married Boaz. You say, well, that's not a biggie, you know. But Ruth was an ancestor of Jesus Christ, in the lineage of Christ Jesus. There's Daniel. Daniel remained faithful in prayer. He refused to worship the idols of the land where he lived in Babylon. And God protected Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. The lion's mouths were closed, and Daniel is there. I mean, these are ferocious animals and hungry, but because Daniel had been faithful to God, God was faithful to Daniel. Eventually, he's going to be elevated to the leadership role of God's people. Do you see the pattern here? Hearers and doers. These people, these men and women, simply heard God and did what he said. And as a result, the blessings of God flowed on their lives. We can't leave out Mary. Mary, a 14, maybe 15-year-old girl. She was told by God that she was going to become the mother of the Messiah, Christ Jesus. And Mary believed God, and she accepted his plan for her life. And as a result, as I said, she became the mother of the Messiah. I've tried to put myself in the hearts and minds of these people as I studied through them this week, folks. We've got a lot of 14 and 15-year-old young ladies in our congregation this morning. Think about that. 14 years old, and God comes to you and tells you you're going to become pregnant and you're going to have the Son of God as your child. A hearer and a doer. Peter left his job as a fisherman. He became an apostle. He became the foundation of the church. The word says that God told him, "Thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church on his faith, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He was a hearer and he was a doer. And then, of course, Paul has to be on our list this morning. Paul preached the gospel after his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. And Paul was used of God to spread the gospel into the Gentile world. Unheard of. He's a Jewish man, a Jewish leader, and he turns and he takes the gospel to the Gentiles, the outcast to the Jewish people. Well, also I had this morning to not only look at the doers of the word, but also those who hear only. That's what our passage said. Before we get to those, though, we could go over to Hebrews 11, in what is called the Hall of Faith. I'd invite you to go over there this week and look in Hebrews 11 at the list, the scores of men and women who believed God, who obeyed God, and were blessed by God. If you want to be blessed by God this morning, and I would guess every hand would go up, you must be a hearer of the word, but you must be a doer of the word. Oh, folks, don't stop short of just hearing. Don't give yourself kudos because you went to church today. I'm glad you're here. God's glad you're here. But, folks, there is something that has to follow the hearing of the word. The hearing of the word must be followed by being a doer of the word. And throughout history, multiplied millions have been blessed of God for simply being doers of the God's word and not hearers only. So then let's look at some folks who were hearers only. That's all they did. They just heard. They didn't do. They just heard. In verses 23 and 24, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve heard God, but they disobeyed him. And he commanded them not to eat of a particular fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they heard him. But they didn't do what he said. They were banished from God's presence. And because of these two people, sin entered the world. The issues that you and I have today with sin are because these two people heard God, but they didn't do what he said. The entire human race was tarnished by sin. They were banished from God's presence. They had to leave the garden. They had to go out and live a life trying to just stay alive, to survive. Then their son Cain. Cain offered an improper sacrifice to God. And out of jealousy, he killed his brother Abel. He heard what God said, and he didn't do it, and it resulted in him killing his brother Abel. As a result, Cain was cursed. He became a wanderer throughout the world. Lot's wife is on the list. Lot's wife lived in Sodom. God told her and her husband to get out of Sodom. Lot's wife and Lot to get out of Sodom. And so as they're leaving, she turns around and looks back. That's all she did. She was told not to. But she longed to that place that she had become addicted to. And she looked back at the city of Sodom, and immediately she was turned into a pillar of salt. Folks, God means what He says when we hear Him. And He expects us to do what He says of what we heard. There's Pharaoh then. Pharaoh refused to let God's people leave Egypt. Moses went to him and said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh refused to do that. And as a result, Pharaoh and his nation suffered all kinds of plagues. His very own son died. And his whole army was drowned in the sea. Just because he heard, but he didn't do. He was a hearer only. King Saul offered sacrifices on pagan altars. He spared the life of the wicked Amalekite king, Agag. And as a result, Saul lost his kingdom, King Saul, and he was rejected as the king of Israel. There's Jonah. Jonah ran from God's call on his life. He was to go to preach to Nineveh and speak to that wicked city. But he didn't do it. He heard, but he didn't do. As a result, he's swallowed by a whale. Big fish, however you go on that. Until he repented. Achan. Achan took forbidden items during the conquest of Jericho. They were given specific instructions. You mark around the city one time a day, and on the last day you march around seven times, and then you give a shout, and the walls will fall down. And Achan was one of those people. And he went in and he took the forbidden items from Jericho. Everything was to be destroyed. He took a beautiful robe, some silver, and a wedge of gold. Then he took them home and buried them in his tent. The very last thing that God wanted him to do, because he wanted everything of that wicked place destroyed. He and his whole family were stoned to death and burned. The Israelites in the wilderness, they complained, they doubted, they worshiped the golden calf. And that whole generation who participated in those activities had to die before the other people, the young ones, could enter into the promised land. There's Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament who lied to the Holy Spirit. They said they donated so much money and they were lying about it. They were just wanting to get the attaboys and attagirls because of their donation. And when revealed, they both dropped dead immediately. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He had heard Jesus all of the years of Jesus' ministry. He was there with him. He walked with him. He heard. But when it came to doing, Judas didn't. And he went out and hung himself. Which list are you on today? We're all on one of these two lists. We're on the list of those who hear and don't do. That would be most of the world. Those who hear and don't do. But if you're going to walk with your Lord and Savior, you must not only be a hearer, but you have to be a doer. That is when the blessings of God flow into our lives, when we are both hearers and doers. So last this morning, I want us to look at the blessings that are reserved for doers. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I hope we've driven home that point this morning. In our passage of Scripture, listen to what it says again. Only those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty. What is that? That's the Scripture. That's God's Word. That's what's on your lap there beside you. I hope you brought it today. I hope you never start a day that you don't spend time in His Word. Folks, how foolish that is to go into a day that you don't know what's going to take place without first hiding His Word in your heart and spending time with Him. So that's only those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the Word of God, the Scripture, are doers of the Word. And only doers of the Word are going to be blessed. Those who only hear and go away, as we're told in this passage, it's like looking in a mirror. You walk away and you forget what you saw. You can imagine what you saw. You can make a guess of what you saw, but you can't see it still. And that's what a person who hears and doesn't do. God's blessings only follow doing. God's blessings on your life do not follow hearing only. Oh, if there's something that we could package up and send home with us today, that would be it. It's good that you're here hearing. It's good that you're listening to this person or that person on the radio or tapes or whatever. That's good. But folks, it has to be followed by doing. Because there's no blessing in only hearing. Relationship and fellowship result in obedience. Seeing and hearing are not acts of faith. That's the input. Doing is faith. Seeing and hearing are not acts of faith. You can see, you can hear, you can do all of those things, but there's no faith involved in that. Faith comes in when we do what we've seen and heard. That's where faith comes. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So at best, seeing and hearing only establish a context for obedience. It's good. I'm not saying this morning I'm not saying stop seeing and stop hearing. No, I'm saying see and hear. But seeing and hearing has to be followed by doing if God's blessing is going to be on your life. So how do we know what to do? God reveals His will to us through His Word. We okay on that? Don't go to somebody else and say, Andy, what's God's will for my life? You're too quick, okay? Don't go to another person and ask them what God's will for your life is. And if you're the person being asked, shrug your shoulders. I don't know. The job is for them who want to know to go and find. And you go to His Word to find. You don't go to some book. You don't go to some motivational speaker, those kind of things. Go to God's Word. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, your Heavenly Father gave those words to the people who wrote them down for us. And that's where we find the direction of our life. God reveals His will through His Word. So when we look and we see, and we act accordingly to what He has said, it is necessary then to persevere in looking and seeking hearing past that point. Now, probably most of us try that for a while, then we go back just to the hearing. But folks, this has to be the habit of our life as followers of Christ. Never go into any situation in your life, any decision, that you first don't stop and ask Him to show you. You ask to hear Him. And then when He tells you, and don't run ahead and do it yourself because you're out of time and He didn't come in time. You take the time, you persevere, and when He tells you, then you do it. That's where the blessing comes in. Perseverance reveals faith. If we persevere in our asking, if we persevere in our seeking, and we persevere in our hearing, He is going to speak to us. That's what He promised us. Call unto Me and I will answer, He says in His Word. And then we take what He gives us and we persevere in faith until that happens. And so our growth, our spiritual growth in faith is brought about by persevering in the faith. You can't go out and buy it. You can't try harder. Persevering in faith is how we grow our faith. And spiritual growth comes by living by faith and not by sight. That's a test. That's one of those calling out times. When you cannot see anything, but you've got this huge need in your life, whatever it is. Maybe it's a health need. Maybe it's a family crisis. I don't know what it's going to be. But folks, it's at that time that we have to be a hearer. And we hear God from His Word. And then when we are a hearer, then we act on what He shows us. Oh, if we could only come to deal with that instead of dealing in these finite temporal bodies. Spiritual growth comes by living by faith and not by sight. The Scripture tells us without faith it is impossible to please God. I'm calling us out this morning. We have to be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. We have to look into, we have to persevere, we have to remember, we have to be a habitual doer of what God shows us to do in and through His Word. Now, compounding this, the world, the flesh, and the devil are always going to be challenging us and tempting us against that. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, we're not very tolerant in our flesh. We want it to happen now. We don't have any patience. God, if you're going to do it, get it done. I need it now. Folks, we ask, we seek, we knock. And knock means we keep knocking until it's open to us. And so we persevere. We persevere. And perseverance reveals faith. We remember what He has told us. And then we become a doer of what He has told us to do. You say, well, what if I don't like that? That's not on the table. You're a dead person, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. When you came to Christ, you had to deny self and die to self and follow Christ. If that's not what you did, you are not a believer. God does not hear you when you pray. You have no standing with God. But if you have denied, died, and follow, you have the ability to come before the God of this universe and ask and seek and knock. Now, folks, I want to tell you this morning, that's worth investing your life in. I feel for those people that are out there just trying to make ends meet and trying to beat around and trying to get successful and all these other kind of things. Folks, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a dead person living for Christ. Always validate what you think God is saying to you by His Word. Let's change horses a little bit here. You're a follower of Christ. You're seeking Him. You are doing everything that we tried to communicate this morning. Always validate what you think God is saying to you by His Word. Don't validate it by how you feel about it. Get feeling out of the picture. Feeling is a soul thing. Mind, will, and emotions. What we're talking about is a spiritual walk, not a soul walk. Your flesh, your physical, is always going to demand that it feel good. All right? We're not pain tolerant. We rush to the cabinet for this and go to the doctor for that. I'm not against going to the doctor, that kind of thing. But we're pretty weak when it comes to physical, aren't we? But see, you see, the Christian life is not lived in the physical. The Christian life is not lived in the soul, mind, will, and emotions. The Christian life is lived in a spiritual walk with the God of this universe. And when we are there, He takes care of the soul and the physical issues of our life. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have $1 million and you're going to be healthy every day. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you are in Christ Jesus and you are walking with a spiritual perspective on life, come what may, and those soul and physical issues are going to be as if they didn't matter. That's what all these heroes of the faith we talked about a minute ago, that's where they lived. I mean, Noah, build an ark and it's going to be this big. He didn't know how long it was going to take, but it's going to take 120 years. He knew it'd be a long time. I'm sure the first day he went out there and cut down a tree and saw how much work it was going to be, and that was going to have to be replicated thousands and thousands of times over. But folks, we don't see one hesitation. Why? Because he heard from God. He was walking and living in a spiritual plane, not a temporal plane of the body and the soul. Discernment of God's will. How do we know what He's saying to us? I've been in this a long time. And I would say the number one question, at least on the top five list, is people saying, what's God's will for my life? I mean, they come to me and say, John, what's God's will for my life? I don't know. I'm figuring it out myself on a daily basis. So when somebody comes and asks you what's God's will for their life, don't answer them. Don't answer them. God will show them. And the path of a disciple is to discern God's will. And God's will only comes from His Word. It doesn't come from that warm fuzzy after that dream you had. It doesn't come because you were pulling up to the stoplight and there was a Ford car on the other side, so God's telling me to go buy a Ford car. I've heard junk like that all of my life. That's not the way it works. We discern God's will by His Word. And as we are seeking Him, and as we are diligently in His Word, He's going to bring His Word alive to us at the point of our praying. He's like, buddy, you're just weird. No, I'm just Bible. That's what He teaches us to do. That's how He teaches us to live. Don't sit down and make one of these lists, do's and don'ts, or advantages, disadvantages, or pros and cons. Don't make the decisions of your life, child of God, in that fashion. God allows a need to come into your life. And you go to Him in prayer and say, Father, I understand that this is the issue in my life right now. This is the need that I have. And I choose to seek You, not solve it on my own. Folks, I want to tell you this. He's faithful. He won't turn the next calendar day and all of a sudden it's there. No, He may take weeks. He may just be looking for us to persevere and to keep knocking and knocking and knocking. But I promise you this, in His time, that door will open if we persevere in faith. Don't trust. Always question your feelings, your logical deductions, voices of those around you. advice from others. Don't trust in those things. Don't run to another person when you need to know what God is saying and doing in your life. What you can do is you can go ask a good friend, brother and sister in Christ, to pray that God will reveal to you what His will for your life is. But don't go to a person seeking His will for your life, or God's will for your life. And I know some of you are going to want to challenge that, but folks, like I said, I've been in this business a long time, and I've never had God tell me what Andy's supposed to do. All right? Now, he could do it if he wants to, but that's not the way he does business. You see, he deals with us as individuals. If you are called on by somebody, Chuck, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Chuck better, first of all, not tell them. And then Chuck is going to begin to pray for them. And he's going to encourage them to follow the pathway that we tried to describe to us this morning. And let them seek and know God's will for their lives. If somebody comes to you, folks, always take them to His word, not your opinion. Because you see, our opinions are framed from our vantage point, not from theirs. We don't know what God wants to do with those people. And so you take them to the Word, and you say, okay, I want you to go and read the Gospel of John. I don't know what it is, okay? But you point them in a direction, to the Word. And then if they're diligent in seeking Him in His Word, He is going to reveal to them what God's will is for them. All of these heroes of the Word that we cited earlier were both hearers and doers. We're talking about them this morning because they were hearers and doers. They were not hearers only. Don't you want to join them in living a life like them? You know what you'll be called when you do? A hero of the faith. That's what they are. That's all they did. Wouldn't you like to step into heaven and be recognized as a hero of the faith? You say, well, I'm a nobody. I haven't been to this, or I haven't done that, or, you know, I'm just trying to... Folks, a lot of the people on this list started out just like us. And God called them heroes of faith. Wouldn't you like to live throughout eternity as a hero of the faith? Do you project yourself to heaven very often? Tell me, do you see yourself in heaven? Do you wonder what it's going to be like? Folks, the Word tells us. I don't know about you, but I want to be in heaven as a hero of the faith. That's my goal. You can make a lot of money. You can get a lot of degrees. You can get real famous in this world. But folks, the day the doctor says, I'm sorry, but he's gone, she's gone, it's over. I want something that's going to go beyond. I want to be a hero of the faith. I pray you have that same desire. If you are a hero of the faith, you're going to be a hearer and a doer. You have to have both, because God only blesses obedience. God never blesses disobedience. You go through Scripture and you can pour through the Word, the pages of God's Word. And you will never find anybody that God blessed when they were disobedient. He only blesses those who are obedient to Him. In little things and big things, it doesn't matter. Folks, we need to get rid of the Americanism in our Christianity. And we need to adopt what God's Word has to say about those that he considers to be heroes of the faith. You go out and think about it this week, and you meditate on it. And I challenge you to come away with the goal of your life to be a hero in God's eyes because you were a man or woman who lived by faith. Let's pray. Father, what a challenging week this has been. Thrilling, but challenging. To walk along beside these men and women who were heroes of the faith. To see the lives that they suffered through and to see your response to them when they were both hearers and doers of your word. And Father, I did grieve when I came to those who were hearers only. Those that you gave direction to, those that you spoke into their lives and didn't do it. And in Lot's wife's case, all she did was turn around and look back. Oh, Father, let it be the goal of our lives to be hearers and doers. Let us spend time with you so that you're speaking to us. And then let us do what we hear from you. It's the only way to live this life, Lord. That's why you called it the abundant life. A person living the abundant life is a hearer and doer of your word.